Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 1 Thessalonians with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 12, where we see that the Lord has entrusted the church with the ability to spread the gospel, and he trusts us to carry out this commission. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, with a message entitled, In Us, God Trusts.
Even as a nurse cherishes her own, it's her very own children. Paul says this as an illustration. We were so gentle with you. We were like moms who are breastfeeding their babies. Listen to what he says here in verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, it means this. We were literally yearning over you. We were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but our very own souls, because you were dear unto us. Literally, he says this, because you were dearly beloved. You were esteemed to us. There is no more selfless of a human being than a mom who is nursing her baby. There's never been anything like it before. Ladies, amen. I am so thankful after four children that in the middle of the night when they're nursing and they cry, I can say to my wife, honey, I would love to go get them and do something, but I can't. I'm sorry. Yeah, I would love to be able to say, it's my turn. I'll do this one for you. But there's nothing I can do in those instances. Thank you, God. One of the million reasons I'm thankful to be a man. You know, but for a woman, the middle of the night, right? I mean, my wife went to bed last night. She was doing laundry. It was like 12:30 when she came in bed. And Harper woke up. She's teething at 4 a.m. this morning. She's been up with her ever since. It's like 3.5 hours of sleep. Now, the problem, like she said this morning, is not that Harper's up. She can do 3.5 hours of sleep. The problem is this. When Harper goes back down at 6:30 this morning, the other little minions come down the stairs. And they need breakfast. They need to go to the bathroom. They need to get dressed. They need to get ready for church. And it's a million miles per hour. The moms that walk this earth are the most selfless human beings to ever exist. And Paul says, I'm like a mother when it comes to ministering to you. I'm so gentle that I treat you like a nursing mom would handle her baby. It is the most beautiful thing when you watch a woman with her baby. There's something that softens a woman's heart so much when they have a child, even if they're hard and tough before they have a baby. You can still be hard and tough, but there's a gentleness that takes place. There's this fellowship that baby's dependent upon you. That's amazing to me. I mean, I look at Harper. She's like Yoko Zuno now. She's this huge, chubby baby. If I drop her, she would bounce. I mean, she's just so round and plump and beautiful, but she's a chubby little thing, and it's all essentially from breast milk. And I look at this, and I think everything that my wife ate and digested went through her body, and selflessly she gave out all the nutrients my daughter would need to live and exist. And I think how precious that is, how time-consuming that if it wasn't for my wife, my baby would be dead. And Paul says, that's what we were to you. We gave you the sincere milk of God. We digested the word of God, we broke it down, and we imparted it to you preciously, beautifully, wonderfully, gently, kindly. We gave you the gospel of Jesus gently. Why? Because you probably didn't get it at first. That's how new Christians are. That's how babes in Christ are. You ever seen a baby that starts drinking when the milk starts flowing? They choke. Because they don't know when to stop. They don't get that. They're hogs. They're pigs. They get on there and they start drinking. And they're choking on the milk in the beginning. They can't handle it. It's too fast. I'm serious. Or when you transition them from that to the bottle, at first that opening, if you give them too big of a hole, man, they'll choke themselves on the milk. And you got to be patient. You got to take the bottle from them, put them over your shoulder. You got to burp them. They're going to spit up all over you, make a mess of you. And moms kiss them and love them. Dads say, yeah, take your baby. It's their baby at that moment, not our baby. When they're scoring goals and touchdowns, they're our babies again. But not when they're spitting up on my shirt when I got to go somewhere and it smells. Here, take your baby back. But a mom, she, oh, baby, kisses them, hugs them, coddles them. She's cool with smelling like puke. She's fine with that. There's a gentleness attached. She's not angry. She don't slap the baby and say, why would you spit up on me? What's wrong with you? Swallow your milk. Well, we laugh at these things, but Paul uses these words on purpose. The Spirit of God is revealing the likeness of God through the author Paul here, who's penning these things. And he says, this is how a minister of the gospel ought to be. When you're ministering in church and you're ministering in that world and somebody chokes on the milk of God's word, it's simple to you. It's easy to swallow to you. You've known it for years, but for them it's brand new and they don't get it. They can't understand why a man can't be with a man. They can't understand why a woman can't be with a woman. They don't understand why it's not okay to live together before you're married. They don't understand these things and they choke at it. You are called to be gentle with them. You are called to burp them. You are called to discern when it's time to take the milk away and just talk about what's already been put in their mouth. You see what I'm saying here? There's a gentleness that needs to be attached to the servant of the Lord. Like a nursing mom with her very own child, he calls us to be that way, to behave that way. It's precious and it's necessary. When you get involved in the church and dealing with people, you need patience. You need gentleness. But here's the thing, so do others with you. If you remember that and you remember that you need that with God, it puts things in perspective. It causes you to sort of slow your roll a little bit in your haughtiness, in your arrogance, and thinking that you have arrived. None of us have arrived. We are always attaining, never arriving until we get to glory. So get off your high horse. He goes on to say, for you remember verse 9. Brethren, our labor and our travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preach unto you the gospel of God. We worked all day and we preached all night. We made tents all day long. And then we came and we met you at siesta and we gave you the gospel. Or we worked at siesta while you slept and ate, and then we met you at night and gave you the gospel. But we toiled and we worked hard day and night to be representatives of you. The Christian that's out in that world or in this church, either way, the minister of the gospel should be the hardest worker on the planet. Should be the hardest. I don't mess around when it comes to preaching the word of God. I don't want to have to look at those notes once. I take it very seriously that God has called me to preach his word on Sundays. And I want to know so in and out the text that I'm teaching, I don't want to look at those notes once unless it's for a definition or a cross-reference. Because here's the deal. If there's 400 of you here right now, that represents 400 hours in this room. And I'm not trying to waste 400 hours in first service and 400 hours in second service. Do you get what I'm saying? I want to be faithful to my God and the representation of his word every single time that we gather. The Christian should be the hardest working person in this world. Because what comes out of your mouth should equate to what you're saying that you live. There should be the gospel that you proclaim is being lived out in your life so much that if you don't have the opportunity to use words, people can see Jesus in you. Paul said, we worked our butts off. We worked all day and we preached the gospel all night so that we wouldn't be able to reproach you. These are examples, if you've dozed off, if I've lost you, of what the servant of God, of what the person that God seeks to trust in with his gospel, this is what you should look like. This is what I should look like. And he says, this is what we looked like. This is what we did. You are witnesses, again, he says in verse 10, and God also, how holily. That speaks of being pious. That speaks of being religious in our behavior. It was so consistent. That's convicting to me. We behave so holily. It's not just like a goody-goody uprightness. The word here, there's an attachment to like a devotion. There was a consistency in our life. The way that we lived day in and out, it wasn't like one day it was all about Jesus, the next day I'm out smoking cigarettes, drinking beer after work with you. Do you get what I'm saying? It wasn't like I'm talking to you about Jesus at lunch Monday through Friday, but Friday night at happy hour, I'm coming with you and I'm getting tanked at the bar. Because that message now is not valid. That message now has been defiled by the messenger. I'm not saying you have to be perfect, but I'm saying there should be a consistency in your life. You're going to blow it. You're going to mess up. But there shouldn't be such extremes in your presentation of the gospel. Paul said, we behaved ourselves holily. Then he says, secondly, here in verse 10, also justly. We did what was just. We did what was right. And then thirdly here, but certainly not last, he says, we behaved ourselves unblameably among you. We were unblameable. Literally this, he says, we gave you no occasion to find any fault in us. We didn't do anything that you can say, aha, you guys are frauds. Aha, you guys are not the real deal. There was nothing about us that could be blameable. Now here's the crazy part. Thessalonica was not in a situation where it was just the people that were immoral. They were amoral. You know what I'm saying? They were not just immoral where you do opposite of what's moral. They were amoral. There were no morals. I'm talking like at Corinth at this time, at the temple, there would be 1,000 prostitutes parading around the grounds, waiting for people to come and worship and have sex with them. This was the amoral. There were no morals at all. Truth was just relevant like it is here today. And in the midst of that, Paul says, even though we live in a backwards, upside-down society, even though we were there where sin abounded, not just to watch pornography, but to do pornography. I mean, we could, it was right there. He said, we were unblameable. We were holy. We were just. Because there could be the person in the hearing of this message today, and you could be thinking, and I could be thinking, and it's so hard to be a holy and unblameable and just. I mean, we live in a crazy world. My college campus, and I work construction. I'm blue collar. You should hear the things that are, and we can start justifying why we don't do what Paul said we should do. Paul says, but we did this by the Spirit of God. It's convicting to me. And he says in verse 11, as you know, not only that, he said, but we exhorted you. We exhorted you, he says here in verse 11. The word exhorted is parakleo. It should be familiar to you Bible students because it's a word of the Holy Spirit. Listen, it means this. It means to bring to one side. It means we brought you to our side, Paul said, and we insisted of the truth that we were telling you. We exhorted you, he says in verse 11. Secondly, we comforted you. The word comfort here, it carries the same idea as encouragement with the emphasis on activity. It means we stimulated you to activity. So Paul not only made them feel better, but he helped them to want to do better. That's part of my role as a pastor. I'm not just trying to make you feel better. I'm trying to stir you up to want to do better for Jesus Christ. When you're out in that world, when you're serving the Lord here in this church, these should be the things that are flowing from your life that you're trying to stimulate the person you're discipling, stimulate the person that you're witnessing to put feet to their faith, to want to do better, to want to live better for Jesus because he's worthy. And then lastly, he says this. He says that we charged you. The word charge means this. We testified personally. We told you about what Jesus had done in us. We told you about how Jesus changed us. We told you about our God story. That is so powerful. Paul says, these are the things that we did when we were with you. And he doesn't say that we did it in general. Look at the end of verse 11. He said, we did it to every single one of you as a father does his children. He dwelt with them personally. He wasn't a respecter of persons. And he didn't generalize the body that he was ministering to. Listen to me. As you are ministering to God in this church, and as you are ministering to God out in that world by trying to reach the lost, not everybody's the same. Not everybody's the same, so that's why denominations are kind of faulty. You can't put God in a box. You can't confine him. There has to be a willingness to be Spirit-led. There can't be, this is always how I witness. This is always how I serve. There has to be a flexibility. There has to be an openness to the leading of God's Spirit. Listen, if you're paying attention, there's some riches here in this word this morning for you. We got to yield to these things because otherwise we're not going to be successful the way God wants us to be. Is we are the ones that he trusts to bring the message to the world, to serve him for his glory, for his kingdom's cause. Paul says that we have to dwell with people according to knowledge. I have to know as a pastor how to deal with you guys as individual sheep. I don't just look at you guys all as Calvary Chapel Westside. I look at you as a bunch of individuals that make up Calvary Chapel Westside. And when I'm conversing with you out in the foyer, and I'm praying with you, and I'm visiting your family or you, or doing things for your families and you, I have to treat every situation as something that is unique. That's part of being a minister of the gospel, an apostle, a sent one, a servant of God. Same for you. Same for you as in having children. Like he says here, as a father would, I dwell with you individually. So he likens himself to the gentleness of a mother, and then he likens himself to the sternness of a father. He's saying these are the ways that we were an example to you. This is how we handled you, just like a father ought to do with his children. And anybody who has more than one child, you know, every kid you deal with differently. Every child is unique. One you could just look at and they'll cry. One you have to yell at and they'll cry. The other one you got to throw things at and maybe they'll cry. You got to beat the snot out of them and maybe they'll cry. You got to do what you got to do with each individual child to raise them up in the truth. Paul says, this is the role of a servant of God. And you do it balanced, like a mother, but also like a father. The gentleness of a mother, but the sternness of a father, but the exampleship of a father. He's saying, a father should be an example, dads. In our own lives, we should be example to our children. More is caught than taught. And we should be able to say, look how I live and live like me. It's crazy how our children pick up on things. It's crazy how our children start to get to know our isms, our idiosyncrasies. My daughter Olivia came to church early with me today, my eight-year-old. And my brother Josiah and I were in my office right before service. And I walk into the room, they were there first, of her making fun of me, impersonating me. She says, I do this certain face when I look in the mirror in the morning and I'm brushing my teeth and getting ready. And she started like making fun of me and doing these faces. And right in front of me, she's making fun of me to Josiah. And Josiah's loving it, egging her on. And I'm thinking, I can't believe that she noticed these things. I can't believe that she sees. And then she started showing Josiah how I walk. And she started like making fun of how I walk. And I'm just getting insulted. I'm just getting trashed right before I got to come out here this morning. But I'm thinking, this is insane. My daughter catches all of these little things. My son, we were at the store the other day, and he saw these sunglasses. He's only 4 years old. And he saw these sunglasses on the clearance section, and he grabbed me and said, Daddy, I want these sunglasses. I thought, you've never even talked to me about sunglasses before. He said, yeah, but they look just like yours. I want to look just like you. And I'm starting to think, man, he's paying attention to my sunglasses. You know, there's such a high call as a dad. And Paul's saying, I was like a father to you. I instructed you in these things, but I also led by an example so that you could follow suit. I was only with you for 3 weeks, so I wanted you to see what a servant of Jesus Christ should look like. And then charge you in that way. Important stuff. And he concludes this section by saying this. This is the purpose. That you would walk worthy of God. And it's in the present tense. Who is continually calling you unto his kingdom and his glory. He's continuously calling you unto his kingdom and his glory. It's for the unbeliever and the believer. If you're an unbeliever, Jesus, by his Spirit, is constantly seeking to woo you unto himself, showing your need for salvation, that you are a sinner and that you need Jesus. He's seeking to do that. If you are in Jesus and you're a follower of Jesus, he's constantly seeking to burn the dross away, strip you of flesh, and make himself in you to increase. Like John said, I must decrease, he must increase. He's constantly seeking to mold us and shape us into what we are supposed to be. Our supreme example, Jesus Christ. So he's constantly calling us to self-examination. Are we servants of God that he can trust in? Are we faithful stewards of the gospel, of the ministry of Jesus Christ? Worship team, you can come. In church, as they make their way, let's just review these things briefly. Paul says, I view myself as a steward of the gospel, of God's message. Listen, let's just discuss in our closing this morning three things about a steward. A steward, number one, owns nothing. You would agree, right? If I gave you one of my Bibles that were really precious to me, a lot of notes are in there from conferences and studies and things that I've learned of God, and I gave you my Bible the next time that I go away for some time, and I say, hold on to my Bible. It's not yours, right? You don't own it. You're simply holding on to it. You're a steward over it. So a steward owns nothing, but possesses and uses everything that belongs to his master. So all that it is it's something that as I'm the owner of it. It belongs to me. You're holding on to what belongs to me and that I possess. You're just stewarding over it. That's the gospel. It's been given to you. So yes, in that regard, it's yours because it's transformed you. You are now saved. You're a byproduct of it. But you haven't been given it to just hold on to and to do nothing with. You are a steward over it. It's God's gospel. You're to give it out. You're to disperse it. Listen, a steward, secondly, manages his master's affairs, and he uses all of his goods to promote his master's lifestyle. I think of Joseph in Genesis 39. He was taken to Potiphar's house, and he was entrusted everything that was Potiphar's in his hand. And he did not sin against Potiphar with Potiphar's wife when she seduced him, because he said that I am a steward over all that my master has given to me. How could I sin against him in that way? It's not mine. You're not mine. Beautiful example of stewardship. I am here simply, Joseph would say, to better Potiphar's life, to handle his funds, to handle the things that he's entrusted to me, to improve his lifestyle. That's what we're here for. As the ones that God trusts in with the gospel, we are here to glorify Jesus and to establish his kingdom and to grow his kingdom. That's all that we're here for. None of it's ours. None of it's for ourselves or vainglory. It's all for his kingdom's cause. And then lastly, every steward, and this is sobering, because what they have is not theirs, every steward one day will have to give an account to what they've been called to be stewards over. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, He said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward. And an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and he said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be a steward. That's terrible. That's a rebuke from your Lord. You did nothing with what I gave you. You didn't use it. You just held on to it. It wasn't yours to just hold on to. It was mine, and you wasted it. I never want to hear those words from my Lord. I want him to mean it when I get to glory and him say, well done, my good and faithful steward, servant. You took what I gave you, the gospel. You took what I gave you, your gifts, and you used it to build the church, and you used it to reach a lost world. Well done. Good job. You are the type of person that I was able to trust in with the good news of my son, Jesus Christ. Don't you want to hear those words? Don't you want to be pleasing to your Heavenly Father for all that he has done for you? It's the right response. It's a response that glorifies his name. So I would encourage you this week, as you move through this week, as God gives you opportunities this week, to seek to be somebody that he can trust in. To seek to be somebody who doesn't do the things Paul says you shouldn't do and does do the things that Paul says you should do. To look at everything in life as an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. To use every opportunity in life to strengthen the church. You get to get in a conversation with somebody after study today. Try to build them up. Try to encourage them. Try to pray for them. Always seek to be a constructor, never a destructor. Always seek to be raising people's hands and setting people's eyes on Jesus. That is the perfect ministry. And we've been entrusted by God. We've been entrusted by God. How great and wonderful of a calling that we have on our lives. Amen? You're not just a mailman. You're not just a school teacher. You're not just a construction worker. You're not just a stay-at-home mom. You are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ who gave it all. So I say we should give it all too in response. Jesus, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time of just careful examination of your word. We thank you, Jesus, that you've given us such elaborate description of what we should look like through your servant Paul. We pray that you would fill us with your spirit, that you would empower us and enable us, Lord, to go forth and the power of your might for your glory, for your honor, until your kingdom comes. And it's in Jesus' name all God's people said, amen. Let's stand, let's worship the Lord. God bless you.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.